You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number three. Can't wait to get Brian and Ollie's take on LeBron. That's what we're calling it, apparently. That's what a lot of people are calling it, Brian.
Yeah. Colton came up with that one, man.
Yes, when it comes to, of course, Mike Greenberg and Jalen Rose earlier today on Get Up. I almost feel like you have to say it that way.
Probably, yeah. Because any other way just sounds horrible.
Well, not just that. No one's really watching it. But, hey, here's the thing. At least they said something of note. And Mike Greenberg saying, you know what? The team that has the best option for LeBron, that's your New Orleans Pelicans. And Jalen Rose said, you know what? You're probably right. Jrue Holiday, AD, gives him what he needs into that as well. And you know Rajon Rondo would re-sign for a bag of beignets. It wouldn't matter what he gets because he'd want to be a part of it. And it's something that LeBron has not had. He has a point guard that can run the floor and everything. He can just go be LeBron. You got a dominant guy inside. You got another shooting guard in Jrue Holiday. It makes a lot of sense. Until you remember what Dwayne Wade said over the weekend, and he said it's probably a lifestyle situation when it comes to LeBron, where he wants to go with his family and his wife. And again, I'm not ripping New Orleans, but it's very unique to its own culture. If you're from here, you love it. If you've been other places, Brian, I'm just stating the facts. Like, we're talking off the air about Cologne and places to go shopping. There's one mall on the East Bank, essentially.
Right.
You know,
it's
like one Outback Steakhouse. There's one, you know, it's a small town in a big, that's called a city.
Yeah.
Is what I call New Orleans, really. So, you know, people that have that kind of money and like the bigger houses and the things to go spend your money on and things of that nature, people like AD that like to stay below the radar love living here. In the offseason, though, he lives in L.A. So, look, again, it's just different lifestyles than what you have, so it depends what he wants. Basketball-wise, though, we can make the case an argument.
Yeah.
It legitimately is a case an argument. So we'll touch on that here in a little bit. But, Brian, we got a ton to get into. You were just out there at practice. Joining the intern in the open locker room as well, getting it. So let's go through a lot of the observations because, first and foremost, we heard you asking questions to Sean Payton. We aired that. And I guess heat was definitely a topic out there. I asked you jokingly during the break, was it really that hot? My phone said felt like 102 towards the end of practice.
Yeah, and you definitely felt every bit of it, especially because of yesterday with the rain that came down, making it even more humid than what it would naturally have been. That was a problem, and that's what made me ask Sean Payton, because you could see the tempo in practice early, as he stated. It was upbeat. You know, everybody was kind of flying around, and then after a while, it just seemed to drag on, and you saw Dennis Allen chewing into his guys, Sean Payton chewing into his guys. So when I noticed that, it made me want to ask Sean, how do you feel about the tempo of the practice?
I go back to what Zach Strief said the first year at the Greenbrier. We were there, and it was the only year that I went and covered the team at practice over there at training camp. But it was substantially, I mean, noticeable. I mean, you needed a fleece, you know, in the morning when practice started. And it's what he said, the phrase that said it, because fans, Brian, want to blame the Greenbrier. Fans
and
want to say that, you know, practicing in the heat will make you tougher.
Oh,
it'll get you ready to go, even though the team plays indoors.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Even though the team plays at least two more games on the home slate in Minnesota and Atlanta indoors.
Doesn't matter.
Practicing out in 102 will make you better.
Absolutely. Okay? Proven.
Here's the thing. Zach Strief said, when you practice in heat like this, you're just trying to get through the practice. Your mindset, your play is, let's just run this play, get through it, and let's get at it. When you're not thinking like that, he says that he felt that you got more out of practice. The last year there at the Greenbrier, I'll never forget, there were one or two players that said it was probably one of the toughest training camps they went through. They went 7-9. It wasn't a Greenbrier, Brian, to me. It was injuries and it was lack of talent. They had no talent. The basis of those 3 years essentially were draft picks where they don't even have the players on the team anymore. It was free agency acquisitions like, you know,
Brandon Browner.
Yeah, Browner and who was the cornerback that didn't even make the team?
Garrett Grayson.
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey, I mean, is another just, one.
Right. He didn't even make the roster out of training camp. So that's the reason. If you had this roster at the Greenbrier, they're a playoff team.
No, they're not.
Okay. You don't believe in this.
No.
Point is, though, it's something to keep an eye on, especially the next 2 days when you see that. It affects it. I mean, it's what he says. You have to take more time getting water. If you have to take more time doing IVs and stuff, it does affect your practice. But hey, fans don't want to hear it because they went to the playoffs and that's in their heads, whatever it is. But heat was something today because it gave us a bit of a pause. Marcus Davenport went out after making a big play. So let's touch a little bit on this because to me, it's one of the storylines today. We'll get to Mark Ingram. We'll get to the other ones. But Brian, since minicamp, you were out there with me. We watched the 30 minutes we're allowed to watch.
Yeah.
And we saw him beat Michael Olai and you know, the left tackle there, but just couldn't finish and get to the quarterback. But he was quick off the line. You saw the spin move. You saw the size. You saw his ability to be able to get in there. Then OTA 1, you saw that, couldn't finish on Armstead. OTA 2, getting closer. OTA 3, got a sack.
Mm-hmm.
What happened today?
Today he got another sack. I mean, he was absolute monster out there for, you know, when he was out there and healthy. You could see his burst. You could see him starting to learn how to use the hands more, even though he had to be careful with the hand because of the thumb injury. You could see him really starting to do that get off. You know, he could see him kind of developing more moves to get to the quarterback. And I thought that was impressive on his behalf. But I mean, there was one play in which he breaks through the line. He gets there. Drew tries to scramble and get away from him. And all you see is this massive dude just towering over Breeze to the point to where Drew is like, okay, well, I can't go left. He tries to go left. I can't go right. Tries to pump fake. Can't do that either. Marcus Davenport looked like, I mean, it looked like Drew was standing behind a tree. You could not see Drew because of Marcus Davenport. And that was impressive.
Well, it's one of those things, Brian, that I think really stands out and that you want to see because I said it while this was, you know, being popped up on Twitter and showing that he was getting some pressure and doing that. I'm like, hey, look, I know fans are going to focus and it's going to be a storyline during the season, right? I love Nick Underhill kind of going back and forth with some fans that don't think that it's two first-round picks you gave up. You used one,
and then you gave up another one next year. It's two first.
It's two first. Right. So you are expecting him to do something. I said, look, Alex Okafor provided a lot for Cam Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do Alex Okafor, you're good.
Yes.
If he can do more than Alex Okafor, you're doing better. If he can be a legit playmaker, not a darn person's going to be talking about what you gave up.
Not at all.
Because he's going to do that much more. I don't need him to get 5 sacks in the first 3 games.
Right.
I need him to get pressure.
Correct.
I need him to make that quarterback think about that. And Brian, that one play he got on Drew, if that was a regular season game, you just did 2 things. One, you got the sack.
Yes.
Two, now Drew has to think about that the rest of the game.
Correct. Correct. As well as, you know, you're thinking about the back end as well. If the back end knows, I can take a gamble a little bit more because I know my guys are going to speed up that clock for the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Now I can cut a route and maybe take, you know, and it's a pick six instead of just a pass breakup.
You mentioned the word towering.
Yes.
Over the quarterback there.
Yes.
I've talked to this. I was actually talking to Bobby Aber a little bit about this as well early in OTAs. As a QB, if you have that, and even John Forcade, I was talking about too, when you have somebody that's that big and that tall, like Cam Jordan.
Yes.
That's a pass blocker. Got the triple-double last year. Is doing that. It affects your passing lanes.
Yes.
You tend to maybe not look in that direction. Or if you do, you know it needs to be a quick slant.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that quick slant's taken off of the playbook because he might jump and bat it down or intercept it. Cam Jordan got a touchdown last year against the Lions on that very same play. When you said towering, I'm thinking right now, man, you're helping it's Lattimore.
Yes.
On that side.
Yes.
So you're just added another element to there. You almost maybe need to put him on the other end because if I got Lattimore at left corner and Davenport at left, I'm not even looking at the left side.
No, for what?
I'm not even looking
because
at the left side.
Because you're talking about a guy that's 6'5 easily. He looks every
bit
of 6'5.
But then again, you just won half the field now. Dennis Allen can now go, great, I'll concentrate all my other people on the right side.
And that's the problem that you'll have because now you have Davenport. If he can prove, you know, show and prove. You have Rankins next to Davenport, so now you're getting interior pressure as well.
Hence Teddy Bruschi saying that he thinks Davenport's going to help Rankins dominate more on the inside.
Absolutely. And then following on that, opposite side, now you have Cam Jordan possibly getting one-on-one matchups, and we've seen Cam dominate when he's getting doubled and tripled. Now you have a one-on-one matchup, so now that's going to speed up the clock on the outside too. So you're going to get interior pressure, outside pressure from the right side, and then outside pressure from the left side as well. Now you're speeding up the clock
and
for the quarterback.
Something that I've been pushing and telling people, which you've also done, and this is why when people complain about the price you gave, I'm like, if this guy can do what I'm just telling you, right? He's helping the interior. He's helping Jordan. That's two different position groups, if not players. Now the linebackers can come in and blitz or make plays on the run game because you will have lanes in which to go in and make plays. That's a third position group. We know the Saints like to use three safety looks or even bring in corners from that situation. That's another position group, all based if one person can do what he's doing simply because of his size, Brian.
Absolutely. And I think when I say towering, I mean, we're talking about a guy 6'5". Once he puts his arms up, this is 6'8", 6'9".
He hasn't
wingspan.
Learned that yet.
Exactly.
He has not learned that yet.
And he's still learning and growing at this point. So I think by the time training camp and preseason rolls around, you'll see him start to develop a little bit more because he has guys like Cam Jordan and others to kind of pick from. Not to mention that, but again, it's going back to the idea that Sean Payton has always been a guy to say, what works in our league and how can I institute that in my defense and my offense? Mm-hmm. Well, now we're looking at a rotation of guys that are going to continuously do the same thing. The Saints have a type. All of these guys are starting to be 6'4", 6'5", defensive ends that can rush the passer and play the run. This is going to be a very interesting group. I can't wait to see who's here and who's not because of the cuts.
See, you and I were talking about which side of the football was going to be the strength on this team. Mm-hmm. Let's stay with the defense here, and let's go with DeMario Davis and A.J. Klein. It was basically almost pretty much full go from all accounts. And you're seeing that again. I have no problem with this. I love this because you have depth now. You can continue to rotate players. You're going to rotate all those players in the D-line, as Marlon Fayright was touching on yesterday. You want that. You want fresh bodies, fresh legs, so you can pressure and rush the quarterback and stop the run game.
Correct.
If you're fresh. Klein and Davis, that's an upgrade, man. And if those two are your linebackers in a dime
and
package.
Nickel and dime.
Sorry.
So, I mean, when the first thing I noticed, I'm like, okay, who's out here with you know, they were in nickel. Who's out there? Well, the first thing I noticed is that Klein is the one making a signal call, so he's playing middle linebacker at that point. Davis on the weak side, using his speed and his agility to get around guys. That's a heck of a pairing because both of those guys have played middle. Both of them understand the calls. They're
absolutely
both smart guys, and they understand where they have to be. So it's not even if, you know, Klein may not be the speediest linebacker. He just knows where to go, you know, when the football is snapped. So I think that helps. And Davis, athletic, one of the fastest linebackers in the league. That was impressive. Base defense. We're talking about a pairing of Manti Te'o in the middle, A.J. Klein on the strong side, DeMario Davis on the weak side. And we're not even talking about Anzalone, who was a starter last year. The Saints have depth at every position. And I think linebacker, they might just keep six and they have their guys ready because most of the guys they have are versatile, which is why I asked Sean, why are you guys doing it this way? Why are you, you know, putting these linebackers in different spots? Is that done by design to see what they have or is it because of the versatility? It's because of the versatility.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said they're learning a primary and secondary role. And that's right after you asked that question, I said, hey, all you're doing there then is you're basically saying to that other starting quarterback, I don't know who the Mike, who the Will, or who the strong side is. So
it gives them that much more to think about when, you know, before pre-snaps.
Hey, it's 2-3 seconds off the, you know, off the play clock that comes off and gets you to start thinking about it. Let's take the quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about the news that Adam Schefter has thrown out there. A running back is coming in to visit the team, and another running back that hasn't been around showed up. We'll talk about Jamal Charles and Mark Ingram when we come back. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
And I take the time by the shack outside the game.
Stock a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alario Brothers stocks anchors from 5 to 100 pounds. Come visit Alario Brothers before the season starts. That's Alario Brothers at 894 Avenue A, West Rego, 504-341-1843, and visit their website at alariobrothers.com.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. If you want to buy a home, we can help you get a great mortgage that may require as little as 3% down. And we also invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives you a solid approval in as few as 8 minutes. And for 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call America's largest mortgage lender at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Results may vary.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans, and it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog, and it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts, and our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball.
Got a hot take? I've got something to hear.
Tyron Walker, Tim Hightower, among some folks that were out there trying out. Brian Enola, East Gus Kattengill back with you here in Ametri Studios. OTAs are done today, day one of mandatory minicamp tomorrow and Thursday, 11 a.m. to 1:20, open to the public. Lots of folks out there today?
Yeah, it was a pretty nice crowd. Not as many as I expected to be out there, but it was
it was
nice
102
crowd.
Degrees out there.
Yeah, maybe a good reason why people stayed away.
Who got the most little cheer? How did Mark Ingram get received?
It was okay. I think it was a nice cheer for him when he was out there. I think more people were excited about the play of the day to me, which was Alvin Kamara on a deep route, beat DeMario Davis. Absolutely phenomenal catch. I mean, that dude is just sick.
Look, I said this, and it's something that I tasked our intern to do. He got some reaction today, and I did this on purpose because, again, you know, I am Jordan. That's in Michael Jordan of the broadcast
team. Of course you are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
So I have a reason behind my philosophy. I asked him to go out there and ask fans over the next 3 days, who is it you're excited to go see when you walk into that dome? Mm-hmm. Like, who is? And again, it's been spoiled, and it's been something that's very unique for the last several years. Yeah, you had your Lance Moore fans. You had your Reggie fans. You saw some Will Smith jerseys, some Cam George. Number 9 has outsold everybody else.
No question.
There's no question. He is the player, the friend. Remember, I asked a question earlier, and I got ripped earlier this offseason. I'm like, could possibly somebody surpass number 9 as the guy on this team? And I told you, I can make the case and argument if things could change. Alvin Kamara, to me, could be a guy that others around the league, like other fan bases,
I think that question we always ask.
Look, this year, Saints got some Monday nights, some mm-hmm. Sunday nights, a pair of Thursday nights. If Alvin Kamara has those plays that are just ridiculous.
YouTube highlight type plays.
I'm just saying he could be a guy that his jersey sales go outside of New Orleans is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, no question.
He's a guy to me, just a person. We're all fans. I mean, we grew up here. We're New Orleanians. We want our team to do well. I can't wait to the regular season to see 41 play.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I can't wait. I think he makes it look effortless. I think the guy's got it from the top to the bottom, from mentally to physically to everything. You go back and you play the bite from earlier this offseason in OTAs. Week one, he was asked, what did you improve on? He goes, my speed.
Yeah. Now, mind you, we haven't seen him run full speed yet.
So I'm like,
apparently he's faster.
I'm like, what do you mean you were working on your speed? He's like, well, you'd be surprised. I could get faster. I could get quicker. When do I go this? When do I turn this on? How do I adjust? And just going in momentum. I'm like, oh my.
Dude, I mean, him and Mike Thomas.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm more eager to see really put it together, because Mike Thomas, again, has put on muscle. But it's lean muscle. It's not like he put on mass. So I'm like, he looks faster.
Now, Michael Thomas not out there today.
No, not out there today. But Trayvon Darrell took his snaps. And, of course, as always, he's been cashing in throughout, you know, with this time with the ones, man. He looks really impressive. Now, again, it's mini camp practice number one. We've only seen OTAs. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but from what I've seen, he looks pretty good.
How's what's his name doing?
Who's that?
16 Reason.
Don't you worry about him.
No, I'm just saying, well, he was out there today, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was.
Yes, he was. Apparently, you know, but it was hot out today, so he decided to, you know, just chill.
He was watching.
Yes.
Watching. So yes. We've yet to actually see him do anything this entire offseason.
No, you haven't seen him do anything. I'm a close personal friend.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I tell you what, good news.
Uh-huh.
Alex Okafor was back on the practice field. I thought that was really impressive. You know, I think he didn't really go in through any full speed, you know, drills, you know, the contact stuff, but he did do some walkthrough stuff. He was out there practicing. Then he went over to the side and did some running and some drills over there to the side. I thought that was really good, as a really good sign to see him back out there.
Okay.
Well, you look like you're up to something.
No, I'm not up to anything.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because you seem like, you know, you want to say something, like you have, you know, some, you know, 16 doubts or something.
No, I was
okay. Just wondering.
I was just wondering. I mean, you know, like, you're talking about Trayvon Darrell.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy Lee Lewis is still pretty good.
Yeah, he made a couple plays today. Massington continues to improve.
Still continue. I still think he's one of those, torn biceps or something, you know.
Well, you know, strange things happen when you walk through the locker room, you trip on a cleat, all
That's
of a sudden,
right.
High ankle sprain.
IR for the season. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Now, Austin Carr was a guy that we think could be maybe pushing for that, and he went out today. But we don't, you know, we're not going to talk about injuries, according to Sean.
No, not talking about that.
Just wondering if maybe Brandon Coleman should probably, you know, hurry on up.
For what? Clear vision for Brandon Coleman.
Okay,
clear vision.
Tre'Quan Smith, again, working on the side.
Yes.
Cameron Meredith
took snaps in part of practice, okay. So he's out there.
Okay, he's still keeping a good eye on him.
Yeah, he's out there.
But definitely, I mean, from all the different names we're talking about, though, it does give Trayvon Darrell more and more opportunity to go out there and make some plays. And again, put some more stuff on tape. I don't know where this roster spot is. You and I have been talking about this. Mm-hmm. You keep saying 5-6 spots. I'm like, I don't know where. But if you do that, you have to cut elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, you know, Tyron Walker, one of those guys that is trying out again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you saw him at rookie minicamp.
Yes.
They brought him back for mandatory minicamp now. So you're kind of wondering if this is an area that, I think Sean Payton wants to go too deep all the way around. Al-Qadim Muhammad, I'm assuming left end again since Cam Jordan
is
with his baby.
Correct.
But you saw Tyler Davidson, David Onyemata,
mm-hmm.
Sheldon Rankins. I think you want too deep rotating all the way around.
No question. I would definitely think
Davenport,
that's something that they're looking for.
Onyemata, Rankins, Tyler Davidson.
Maybe Tyron Walker, possibly. Maybe
Walker.
A veteran that's cut later on in the offseason. So I could definitely see
George Hill got a sack
spot
today.
He did.
The George Hill.
No, it's not George Hill. It's George Johnson, but, you know.
That's what I meant, George
person.
Johnson.
Yeah, George Hill plays for the
that's
Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's my point. What number is it?
George Hill? He's number three for
George,
the Cavaliers.
George Johnson.
George Johnson, number 90.
Okay.
Also another 6'3", 6'4", type of guy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. It's like I'm kind of looking from that depth perception. But my point is this. Mike Triplett brought this up yesterday, and he was a good point. You know, on game days, they've only been dressing four receivers.
Yeah, I heard Mike say that yesterday, and I had to tweet him and tell him, dude, that's a great point that you made.
Because
right
if
there.
That's the case, Brian, I don't know where these receivers are going to make the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we already know the top four. So I think.
I mean, is Tre'Quan Smith in trouble? Like, especially if this injury kind of lingers or something like that, to where that's what I'm saying. When I say IR, I mean.
Yeah.
You're not cutting him.
No, IR.
You drafted him, but maybe we'll see you next year?
I think that could very much be a possibility, but I know they're looking forward to his speed. I think what comes down to—
And his blocking, remember, which is why 16 Reasons needs to get on the 16 fields.
Look, don't you worry about him.
I'm just saying.
Proven game tape, buddy. Proven game tape.
Let me tell you something. July 20-something comes up, you know, that first day of training camp?
Yeah.
He ain't out there. You got a lot of splaining to do.
For what? I talk to him regularly. We're boys. I already know what's going on. He's just he's being a great teammate and allowing the young guys to get reps.
Is that what he's doing?
Of course.
What a swell guy that.
I'm just trying to tell him, look, he's a team guy. That's why they brought him back.
Mm-hmm. The backup quarterback position is something we've been focusing on as well, Brian. You went out there and said you thought
mm-hmm.
It was over.
Oh, it's
backup position is over.
Yeah, done.
How'd Taysom Hill do today?
It's off and on.
Huh?
Off and on.
What's off and on mean? I don't.
It means that, you know, he completed two passes in a row, looked pretty good, and then he missed his next three, and team drills didn't look very good. I mean, he missed one high to the left, one downfield that he totally overthrew, and he missed one to the right that I probably could have caught instead of the receiver. But hey, that's not important right now. It's not important. It's only one practice this week.
Okay.
Last week he didn't really.
Well, but here's the thing, and we're having a little fun with it, but at the same time, Brian, it's one of the reasons we've also touched on this. Why we like minicamp is because it's consecutive practices.
Correct.
During OTAs, week 1, 2, and 3, we only get to see the Thursday practice.
Right.
So we don't know what happened Tuesday, Wednesday. This is a situation, something that I've been under my tutelage, letting you learn. This is what you look for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
How does Taysom Hill bounce back from today's practice?
Oh, yeah.
How do certain things like that? Same thing, Cherry Durrell had a nice one today. Does he follow that up tomorrow? You talked about the butt chewing and maybe not dealing with the heat well. How does the second half of practice sort of go? How does the coaching staff tailor tomorrow's practice? Maybe kind of thinking you're going to have a similar day. Do they do red zone drills early in practice and maybe do more special team stuff towards the second half of practice, try to get the most out of it early? Things like that. We can see that as the consecutive days continue.
I think you'll see either red zone early or 2-minute drill early simply because of what took place at the end of practice.
I mean, was it that different?
Yes.
Because, I mean, Sean sounded agitated.
He was extremely.
I know you and I were kind of teasing and texting going, he doesn't like the injury questions. I'm like, he sounded from the very beginning. It was, all right, any questions on it? He was short on it. It wasn't anything like the OTA form. Now, again, it's different. And this is what I've been trying to tell people. Every week it amps up. He's got two more practices after today.
Mm-hmm,
and then
before a 6-week break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in 7 weeks, you got about 7 days to try to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And then 3 days that you really start kind of, all right, what am I
installing for a game?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in between that time, don't not think they're not looking at Tampa and getting all that other stuff. And you got the first preseason game. And after the first preseason game, it's all right, who did well, who didn't, who do we need more snaps with? My point is that first 7 to 10 days of training camp is I call that alley alley oxen free. That's where let's throw this guy in there. Let's try that guy. And you're doing all of that. It's not a lot of time, Brian, when you look at it. He's got two practices and then you got about another 12 to go in which you try to figure out how we're going to use these packages, where we're going to start going. Because after that, Brian, it's who's having season ending IR injuries.
Right.
Who are we looking at? It's not a lot of time. Months wise, it is.
Yes, but actual practice time.
That's what I'm saying. If you're looking at 10 to 12 practices added to the two tomorrow and Thursday, you have about 14 practices. Because once you get to preseason games 2 and 3, it's injuries you're dealing with. You're trying to get ready. Mm-hmm. That third preseason game, and it's only 3-4 practices in between of that.
And it could be practicing against another team, by the way, as well.
That's what I'm getting at. Look, I'm not saying doomsday and all this stuff. I'm not. What I'm saying is you can hear the urgency. It's closer than you think. And Brian, I did it when we started the show. You have 58 days, not practices, mm-hmm. not weeks of practice, 58 days from today before the preseason starts. Mm. You have 89 days before you kick it off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
So it's not a lot of time when you think about it. You could just hear it today. It's just different. He's a lot more talkative. 15, 20 minutes in OTAs. What do you guys want to ask? We can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that
today,
mode
yeah,
now.
Today was 5 minutes tops.
Where it's, I didn't like, because he knows that and I said it and I wrote it all down. You know, I mean, you have the schedule is what it is. We've touched on it. This team, what was it? Kenny Vaccaro was a rookie.
Yes.
It helped intercept, tip ball, Roman Harper intercepts, noodle arm in the end zone. That was the last regular season opening win by your New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
They have not won a season opener since then. They have 5 games before that bye week. The Buccaneers and the Browns at home. At Atlanta, at the Giants, and host the Redskins. You gotta go, 4-1 would be optimum. I mean,
They pretty much have to get off to a fast start.
3-2 at the bare minimum.
Gotta get off to a fast start.
I mean, 2-3,
And that's why you see Sean Payton come out today challenging the wide receivers. He said that they weren't getting set fast enough for him. They, you know, they had, it was slow feet. So
about
he's like,
tempo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need you to
why
pick it
you
up.
Asked that question about it, because that's something that it's been a big, big thing in his offense since he's been here. The in and out of the huddle quicker that you can make those pace. And again, it's setting the tone, Brian, to me. I thought we saw it in the first OTAs, and I don't think it was any coincidence today. I think he knew fully well what the heat and the conditions are. And if you heard him after practice when he was saying that too, he went back to your point about 2-3 times in your question response about, well, the first half was definitely
the first
better.
Half, yeah.
He was letting the players know, and he will, that's not, we didn't finish like that. You know what? You can say it's hot. So what are you going to say in the fourth quarter when you're tired? I'm just telling
you. Yeah, no question.
Knowing him, how he does his pressers, when he looked back at you and he looked back left where you were standing, and he said, no, but definitely the first half was better.
Yes.
He was
that
making
was
the point
yes.
that we did not finish good. We didn't play the way I wanted to in the second half. And what did they do? Red zone.
Oh, yeah, no question. And I mean, you heard Dennis Allen barking as well, telling his guys that they have to have a, to compete with a challenge mentality is the way he labeled it.
That's
so
the
I thought that
second
was,
time in a row. The last Thursday, OTA, he was challenging them again. I think it's not that they're not doing it. Cause again, we saw two sacks. We almost saw an interception.
Correct.
By Marshall. They're playing well. It's not good enough.
It's competing every play.
No,
I think they look
not,
like, yeah.
You're setting you a tone. Yeah. Not good enough.
Nope.
Not good enough.
As good as you think you
this
were that
last
play.
This was good last year.
I don't even think it's last year anymore, Gus. I think it was last play.
No,
I don't care what you did last
what
play.
That's what I'm saying. Last year, okay, we were great.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, I think this year, because I mean, Sean Payton was barking at the, he called it late feet. I mean, he's, and mind you, the tempo at this point, you can see it dragging, you can see it dragging, you can see it dragging. So instead of that metronome being like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. No, Sean wants it like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And they were late. So, I mean, I loved what I saw from the coaching staff as far as getting on the players. And again, as you stated, Sean Payton got on them.
All right, a little bit more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover about 28 minutes before Matt Moskonen, after further review, take on over. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Coverage? Is your car, home, or business protected? If you hesitated, see someone who knows. Price Bourgeois at Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Owner or agent Price Bourgeois will personally help you find the coverage you need. And because he's an independent agent, he can find the right coverage that fits your budget. Hey, there shouldn't be any doubts about your insurance. Call Price Bourgeois at 985-803-8999. That's 985-803-8999. Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Home, commercial, auto.
Gus is busy right now doing nothing.
What are you talking about?
Standing there.
I was waiting
off
for the music to kind of kick in.
No, you weren't.
No, this was a deliberate pause.
No, it wasn't deliberate pause. You were basically just trying to set something up so you can get rid of my friend, Mr. 16 Reasons. I saw it. It was written all over your face. You have a problem with him.
You sound a little paranoid for your person that you pretty are convinced that is already on the team.
Listen, when I heard Sean Payton say we have a clear vision for him, all of your nonsense went out the window, bud.
I mean, I'm sure he had a clear vision until they drafted a receiver that blocks well and, you know, have a couple of other receivers.
He only been on the field once or twice.
But I'm sure he didn't even know who Massington was.
No, he probably didn't.
Yeah. He does now.
He may.
Massington's I don't know where I'm excited to look at preseason this.
Yes.
Does that make sense? I was thinking about that during the break. Normally, you know, you're excited to get into OTAs because it's football stuff. You can actually start talking. It's not hypotheticals. Like, yeah. I'm looking. I can see players, where you're lining up, what they're looking at. And then you get this little mini camp, this little 3 days in a row, how they progress, what are they doing, with some messages you want to drive home. And then there's 7 weeks. And yes, it's the start of training camp, and we can't wait for the Wednesday or Thursday Peyton Loomis presser, in which they tell you nothing, but it's the presser. It's here. It's there. Practice starts tomorrow. Training camp's upon us. Yes. Day one. How'd everyone look? It's the same. But hey, they're there. And then you can't wait until they put on the pads this weekend. Yes. First padded practice. And then 2-3 days into that, you're like, all right, that's great. I can't wait for the first preseason game again. There he is. And then the starters don't really play in that first preseason game. That's fine. But second game, somebody that did well in the first game, let's see how we did. And then you can't wait for the third preseason. So it's just, you can't wait for it to start getting closer and closer. But it is. We were talking about during the break. Like I said, you start Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Wednesday or Thursday, training camp starts. I think it's Thursday.
Thursday.
And so you got that first weekend through next weekend, and then that first preseason game is that following Thursday. So it's about 10 to 12 practices.
Yeah.
And then you'll have an off day, and then it's 2, 3, 4 practices there. Now, you know, again, they'll be traveling and, you know, to Jacksonville, but you host the card, so there's no travel day, so you might have something light. And then, you know, you're at the Chargers, and then you host the Rams to end preseason there. But it's really not a lot of practices on time. Calendar-wise, it's 7-plus weeks.
Yeah, no question.
I'm talking about times on the field to really kind of hash out what I think is going to be some deep, deep cuts here.
Yeah, I think this practice today is going to be one that Sean uses to tomorrow to motivate his guys to be like, look, exactly what you're saying now. We don't have a lot of time for you guys to get this. Either you're going to get on board, or we're going to put somebody in your place that will. And I think this time around, it's not just a threat. You can actually use that because the team has so much depth at different positions. I think tomorrow's practice will be a lot more spirited. So if the fans have a chance to come out, and the weather permitting, I think you'll see the players kind of get after each other tomorrow.
And to your point, again, like I said, I like to look at it and say I think it's a bit overrated, but you can use having to battle and fight through weather and adverse conditions, or more importantly, just being tired. Yeah. You're going to be mentally tired. You're going to be physically tired in some games for whatever reason. You didn't get enough sleep. You're just tired. Sometimes you have it. Sometimes you don't, dude. Mm-hmm. I get it. So it will be interesting to see how practice goes tomorrow. Is there any more team drills? Is there less? Is there more built-in water breaks, what have you? But again, it was 102. So before we start saying anything, 102 degrees is 102 degrees in this humidity. It sucks up some energy. So we did look at that. Some of the other things that I did see getting reported out there that I think we should kind of maybe touch on here as well is you're definitely are seeing that depth in that secondary going to be something we keep focusing on. I know you touched on last week, a guy like Cameron Moore getting some look-sees here as well. It'll be interesting to see when you start seeing them kind of make some plays. Because Marcus Williams in OTAs and in minicamp was getting his hands on the ball. He was getting interception. He was seeing things like that. I just got somebody that tweeted at me earlier and said, how come we're not hearing a lot from other rookies? Again, Tre'Quan Smith, I thought looked pretty good early on.
Yeah, before he got, you know, the hammy injury.
He's got something that he's working on the side. Marcus Davenport's why I let off with him. You are seeing a weekly progress of getting more and more in the backfield. The other rookies, Natrell Jameson, you know, Leonard, I mean, it's just, you're probably going to have to wait a little more. But, Brian, I don't think it's because they're not good. I just think it's because they're so deep this year.
Correct.
That it's a little harder to notice somebody standing out. Not to be ugly. This team was so lacking in talent that the last 2 years, they stood out. You know, you're like, whoa. I mean, Lattimore looks like a real corner. It's like, Marcus, wow. Look at Williams. Jeez, I'm looking at Alvin Kamara. They got speed back there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you didn't have that. So it stood out more.
I think a lot of people are just kind of sold on what happened last year and expecting the Saints to duplicate that again, and that's not the case.
We said that this year. Yeah. This was a depth draft.
Exactly. And, I mean, going in, you're talking about one of the greatest classes, you know, of draft picks that we've ever seen in NFL history. I mean,
Ryan,
you weren't going to duplicate
that.
You can
call it arguably. Yeah. It's the best draft class Sean Payton's ever had.
So with that being said, you're looking at guys like maybe Marcus Davenport as having a chance to start. Maybe Will Clapp will have one of those, you know, those jumbo packages, and he'll be a versatile guy.
He's not make the team.
Yeah. So other than that, you're not going to hear much about any of the rest of the guys unless they stand out during the preseason, because right now they're buried on the depth chart and they're not tackling and really getting after each other. So you can't really see a guy like Natrell Jamerson, who's, you know, playing slot corner right now. You can't see him make a lot of plays right now. Cameron Moore, the only reason why he's sticking out is because he's back there by himself, much like Marcus Williams was last year. So I think as time gets on, you see the pads come on. Maybe then you'll get a chance to see these guys play, especially when the preseason comes around. That's when they'll make their mark.
Now, you and I have talked about Alvin Kamara. Again, looks like Alvin Kamara out there. I mean, yeah. It just you called it a play of the day today?
Yes, Alvin Kamara. Absolutely.
Michael Thomas has been called the freak. You call him an X-Man.
Yeah, he's one of the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, just somebody that kind of stands out. Now, he wasn't there today. Let's see if he's there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe Sean Payton said it was an excuse.
Excuse absence is the way Sean labeled it, but I wasn't going to be the brave one to jump on the grenade and ask about the injuries.
Well, look, if you don't see him the rest of this week.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Okay. Now, that said, I still don't think you should jump on a grenade. Let somebody
know. No, I won't be that guy.
You're still kind of young over there. Yeah, just
Sean just learned my name. I don't want him to forget it that easy.
He's answering your questions. He didn't give you next question or
yeah.
You keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll make sure.
The other thing too that I'm getting to is, so I said Kamara, and I said Thomas. Dude, Marshawn Lattimore looks like he's improved here as well.
Yes.
Because it seems like every practice, it's either an almost interception or pick six that was last OTA. He's had, I want to say, three interceptions since OTA started.
The only play that I saw that was necessarily bad today from Lattimore was Massington beat him on a play. And I mean, when you beat Lattimore, I think that kind of sends a flag to the coaches that, hey, you know, write that down. Let's see what's going on. But, I'm looking at Underhill because I know Nick Underhill of the New Orleans Advocate. That's his guy. That's been his guy this entire offseason thus far. And I'm like, hey, Nick, your man just made a play. And he was like, yeah, and you saw he made it again. So it was impressive to see Massington fight for it. He's another big guy, physical guy. And I love to see Marshawn being challenged this way, because it's not just Mike Thomas. It's all of these guys that are challenging Lattimore. It shows no fear on both sides. Uh-oh. What are you doing that for?
What? I'm doing anything.
Now, I hear the violin music. Yeah. I can hear it. I'm sitting right here.
I don't even know how to start a play.
Really?
No,
I mentioned Massington making a play, all of a sudden.
You sounded awfully high on Massington, burning only the team's best cornerback.
Look.
I'm just saying. No. Again, I'm not concerned for anybody on the team.
Are you sure? Because it sounds like you're insinuating something.
No.
Wow.
I'm just saying, thankfully, there's definitely someone in that receiving room that it's already locked. I mean, he's the locker room's, you know, locked.
I know what you're getting at, and I don't like it.
I'm just saying, I mean, when you just told me that one of Lattimore's bad plays was being burnt by
Eldridge Massington?
Eldridge Massington.
Yeah, number 86.
6'2", 210. Rookie.
Undrafted free agent, by the way.
Undrafted free agent.
What does that mean?
I'm maybe there's potential there. Too bad there's nowhere on this team for him.
I mean, the wide receiver spots are pretty much locked up.
Pretty much. I mean, so much so, one individual doesn't even have to practice.
Practice.
We're talking about practice. It's too hot. What?
Why would I be out there in the heat right now when I'm in the office was wearing black today?
He's a baller. He's a game day baller.
I'm just saying.
Game day.
What do you need to be out there practicing for?
Game day.
You already know what I can do?
Game day B. It's like playoff P for Paul George. That went real well, by the way.
I see what you're doing.
Why don't you just start game day B?
I see what you're doing, and I don't like this.
Game day Brandon Coleman.
I don't like this at all. What? You're insinuating.
I'm not insinuating anything.
A broken clock is right two times a day. So what if Massington made a play on Lattimore,
so
pretty impressively, for a touchdown? We're not bringing that up. Not bringing that up at all.
Now, look, no one is saying that. Look, I mean, if he's injured and he's injured, I mean, it's not he can do. If he's injured, he's injured.
He may or may not be. I won't divulge that information. I'll let Brandon tell you guys.
If he's not playing, he's injured.
I will not confirm nor deny this.
Because there's no way that he's not. I'm just saying it might be like the 35th storyline when training camp starts.
No.
The wide receiver.
It's not a storyline at all.
Oh, at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Just because you have Austin Carr and Josh Huff and Massington, Kirkwood, Traven Durrell.
You're forgetting him again. Tommy Lee Lewis.
Just because you have those guys fighting for a spot.
Sure.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, it's his already. It's done.
Clear vision. Yeah. Clear vision.
16 different clear visions, apparently.
That's all you need.
Hey, what, he better get back soon is all I'm saying.
I don't like what you're doing.
No, I'm just.
I just don't like
you it. Told me he beat the team's best quarterback for a touchdown. And it's been one of the two guys that we say, unfortunately, coming to an injury report soon. There will be an IR injury to one of these two receivers. Either Kirkwood or Massington will suffer a season-ending injury. Don't feel bad for them.
No, it won't be a legit season-ending
injury. They're probably not legitimately hurt.
No.
And they're going to get paid for the season. They're just stashing him for a future year for them to go. So, look, we will applaud them when they wind up on IR.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, no.
Paid vacation.
You get to practice with the team.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Travel.
Yeah. Free travel.
Hey, let me tell you something. You know, I would love to be season-ended IR because basically Sean Payton told you got potential, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to keep you around here for a while. You're not going to get any playing time, but that's okay. We don't need you to do that right now.
Just
learn the playbook.
Get better.
Yeah.
That's all. Traven Durrell.
That's another one.
He got IR'd last year.
But unfortunately for him, that was all Garrett Grayson's help.
Yeah, but he did get IR'd. He could have come back by then, but there was no spot. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Look, it's a good thing. We'll wrap up. Matt Moscona, top of the hour. And then don't forget the Kenny Farrell Show coming from 6 to 7. They'll focus on the World Cup and the weekend away, two road games away for the Jesters last week before this past weekend's win. So we'll touch on all of that and more right here. Throughout the day on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah!
Tickets are just $10 for adults and $5 for kids. And with the family bundle, you can get two adult tickets and two kids tickets for just $25. Go to NOLAJusters.com to secure a spot at Pan American Stadium for all of the great NPSL action. That's NOLAJusters.com.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Come see us at Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy to hear about ways we may be able to save you money on your prescription medication. We accept most major insurances, and we also offer discounts through our 340B prescription program. Our friendly staff will take the time to review your prescriptions with you and assist in figuring out which programs will save you the most money. Come by our location in Frank's Supermarket in LaRose
or call 693-9260 for more information. We look forward to being your community pharmacy.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Plenty to get into, Mr. Brian and Oliste, as apparently you want to make one more comment about your guy.
Yeah, apparently Brandon called me during the break when we were able to record it, and I asked him, how many catches do you think you'll have this year, B?
60 or better!
Stop it. He's not having 60 or better.
Yeah, I thought so. He has a message for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear it?
He has a message from now. Yeah. No, there's no message.
Yeah, I'm serious. It's right here on my phone.
No, there's no message.
Recorded.
No, you know what?
On my voicemail.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
Just for you.
Mark Ingram addressing the media right now in the open locker room as Jordan the intern. Getting that done right now for us. I'm interested to find out if he gives a reason as to why you do the holdout. Because there really isn't leverage you're going to get on this team, right?
Sean spoke about that at the post-practice presser as well. He really didn't want to talk about it. He kind of said, you know, if they did speak, which they didn't, that, you know, they'd keep that conversation in-house.
You know what? Here he is. I knew he was going to say something about it, and now I'm just going to have to call Pinocchio on you.
Wait, what?
He went full Pinocchio. Joel Erickson tweeting, Ingram says he wanted to change up his off-season regimen. Says not showing up to OTAs has nothing to do with this contract.
Really? Fired his agents, didn't he? Got some new agents.
Didn't Sean Payton say he talked to him about it and he doesn't agree with it?
Indeed he did.
Yeah.
You know what?
See, here's what I'm getting at. When you start going full Pinocchio, I mean, just be honest.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, look, it's something between me and the team. Coach knows where I stand. Because Coach Payton addressed it. They talked about it. He understands it from his perspective. He doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
That can only mean one thing.
Contract
talks.
Yeah.
If it was meant about his workout regimen, I'm sure Sean Payton would have said something like, hey, look, we believe that he feels like he can work out somewhere else a little bit better. And he would. Don't lie.
No.
That is a flat-out Pinocchio moment.
I wish somebody would have followed up with asking him about his agent change.
Because the follow-up is, why are you lying?
Yep. Yeah, well, I think that may be a little harsh to ask him that way.
Really? You think that's harsh?
Yeah. I'd probably
so you're
go
buying,
along the lines.
He just wanted to change his workout regimen.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm not buying it. But I would change the way I asked the question. I'd probably ask him, well, Mark, what was the reason why you changed agents? Because if you're telling me you just want to change your workout regimen, mm-hmm. you didn't have to change your agents to do that. You find a global gym somewhere, you play a little dodgeball, and you're just fine.
Oh, see, that didn't take long. Somebody just texted me. Well, he apparently already did change that workout regimen, hence he suspended for 4 games for PEDs.
Oh,
wow.
Sheesh.
That did not take long.
Not at all.
Yeah, maybe he shouldn't be changing up his workout regimen.
Yeah, I think maybe he should have stuck
to
the
old. We got to remember the PED test was at the end of last season.
True.
It wasn't this off season in which he changed his workout regimen.
Maybe that's why he changed his workout regimen. PEDs are not
required. I'm sorry, I'm calling full Pinocchio.
As you should. Because that's just.
It had nothing to do with this contract. Stop it! Like, just be like, hey, look, I always said this, Sean Payton should do it when it comes to injuries. All you have to do is, it's something between the team, myself, Coach Payton's aware of it, we'll leave it at that. Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton said it all the time about contract talks. We'll let you know when we have news.
Yes.
What about Drew Brees, remember? We'll let you know.
Well, yeah.
Mark Ingram, hey, why did you skip the OTAs? You know what? I've talked about it already with Coach Sean Payton. The team knows why. I've talked about it with them. I'm here now. I'm looking forward to the new season. Boom, done. It's over.
You'll never have to address it again.
Instead of going full Pinocchio and saying it has nothing to do with contract talks. Matt Moscone, and after further review, is up next. Brian Jordan, thanks for your help. We'll get you again tomorrow on the Sports Hangover. Matt, you're up on ESPN New Orleans.
Are special. Let's treat them that way.
Okay. Mom, now you have to say I like French fries without using the first letter in a low voice.
Wait, without the first letter? All right, so you say it with me, but you say it in a high voice, okay? 1, 2, 3.
At St. Baldrick's, we want kids to be kids, not just when playing with other kids, but when they need us most, when they need help playing with cancer. That's why the advanced research we find is specifically designed